I know. Oh, then it makes you wait.
That makes you wait.
I'm only standing up here because I don't know. Okay. So, I don't know if you've all noticed that they're all on each other's presentations. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed this? So Tom's from the health department, which is going to be a nice fresh perspective, and he's going to talk about syringe sources pre and post implementation of their syringe program in California.
Thank you, Crystal. And in this presentation, and I believe the final presentation, we'll be focusing a bit more on IDU perspectives. You've heard about the local health jurisdiction and the county level issues and perspectives. You've heard about pharmacists' experiences and perspectives, and we're going to try to give a little more information on the IDU side of things. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, particularly folks that aren't here from the Office of AIDS in Sacramento. I don't have any relationships to disclose. The study is funded by the State Office of AIDS. Our objectives for this study were to look at HIV counseling and testing data to assess syringe sources used by IDUs pre and post SB 1159 and between adopting and non-adopting counties, and to assess syringe-mediated risks behavior among IDUs. So, in any given year, about 170,000 HIV counseling and testing sessions take place in California. So over the course of these 3 years, it's upwards of 500,000 testing sessions that take place. It takes place in health department sites, street outreach sites, STD clinics, alcohol and drug treatment programs, family planning programs, mobile vans. And the data is typically collected on what's called a client information form. It's a double-sided form. Paper copy is what's being used in most counties still, and it has about 200 variables on it that focus on sociodemographics and risk behaviors and referrals. From that larger sample of 500,000, we're looking solely at the IDU-related testing sessions, so that narrows the sample down to 38,000-plus unduplicated counseling and testing sessions with clients who reported injection drug use during the last 2 years. So this map, I'd like you to focus on the dark blue. What I'm portraying here are the counties that have authorized the program and implemented, as Richard alluded to previously. Some have authorized but not fully implemented. So for our analyses, we're focusing on those that have done the whole shtick. They're allowing for syringes to be sold. So the red line here, we're looking at trends in syringe sources over time, again from 2004 to 2005. You can see that the legislation was implemented on January 1st of 2005, which means that's when counties and cities could authorize the program, and bit by bit they started to do so, at least those 17 that we've highlighted here today. And in the red line, you can see that there was about a fourfold increase from January of 2005 to the third quarter of 2006. So IDUs are increasingly reporting using pharmacies as a syringe source, whereas the yellow line representing counties that haven't yet authorized pharmacy sales has remained relatively static, although there are still some IDUs that report getting syringes from pharmacies in those locales. And to give you just a little more of a local perspective, I've highlighted the early adopters here. And much of the trend that we've seen in the previous slide is guided by LA and San Francisco. But we did see significant trend line increases in each of these early adopting counties. Of note, we started to see a bit of an increase even in places before implementation took place. So that caught our attention. Folks were hearing about the legislation. Perhaps they were thinking the legislation was implemented already or decided to move forward with sales. We wanted to look at syringe-mediated risks. Here we're focusing on never syringe sharing. So this is good. This is a protective behavior. If somebody reports never sharing a syringe, we can say that their risk is greatly diminished in terms of transmission, at least through syringes. And while the trend line, isn't straight across and consistent, what we do see is that in authorizing counties and LHJs, it has remained at a higher level. More IDUs report never sharing syringes in the counties that have authorized compared to the counties that have not authorized over time. And we're curious to look more closely at who the IDUs are included in these analyses, both in aggregate and in terms of those that are using pharmacies and compared to those that aren't. So by race ethnicity, approximately half are white, about one-fifth Latino, one-fifth African American. Their median age, 38 years. Over two-thirds are male, and their injection drugs of choice are heroin, amphetamines, and cocaine. In looking at the data, all those 38,000 in aggregate, we looked at the syringe source they report using. 45% obtain syringes through SEPs, 11% from a diabetic, 9% through pharmacy purchase, 6% from secondary syringe exchangers. And we're curious to look at how this broke down by race ethnicity in terms of those that use pharmacies compared to SEPs. So the green bars represent the percentage of IDUs that report using SEPs, particularly among African Americans, we saw a higher percentage reporting using SEPs, 58%. But by and large, SEPs reported being used still much more often than pharmacies by IDUs. But one thing that caught our attention is as we look at the white and Latino community, we start to see higher levels of IDUs in those racial ethnic groups saying that they're using pharmacies as a source of syringes. So perhaps pharmacies could be reaching a different subpopulation of IDUs. And in terms of injection drug of choice, we're curious to see what the differences looked like. SEPs most often mentioned as a source of syringes by heroin users, followed by cocaine injectors and amphetamine injectors. And then in terms of those who reported using a pharmacy as a source of syringes, amphetamine injectors had the highest proportion of injectors mentioning using a pharmacy. So perhaps, again, a beginning of an indication that pharmacies could be reaching a slightly different population. And then we looked at syringe sharing by pharmacy syringe purchase. And 49% of IDUs that reported using a pharmacy reported that they never share. Again, that's good news, protective behavior, as compared to those that don't use a pharmacy, which had lower percentage reporting that they never shared syringes. And here you can see the converse. Those who use pharmacies less likely to sometimes share compared to individual injectors who report not using a pharmacy. So again, this is cross-sectional data. We can't imply causation, but we're curious to look at prevalence rates. This is self-reported hepatitis C rates and actual test percentages, positivities among IDUs that tested. So here we see that for both hepatitis C and for HIV, that IDUs that used pharmacies had lower rates or lower positivity levels for hepatitis C and for HCV than their IDU counterparts that reported using SEPs. There are several limitations to these data. The sample is only representative of IDUs who test at publicly funded counseling and testing sites, so sites that are funded by the State Office of AIDS. It is self-report data. The behaviors are reported for the last 2 years, so not the best proxy for current behaviors, but it's the closest we have on a statewide level. And the serial cross-sectional data precludes us from establishment of causation. So our main conclusions are that there was a fourfold increase in over-the-counter syringe purchases between 2004 and 2006 in the local health jurisdictions that authorized pharmacy sales. Some LHJs saw increases prior to implementation of the legislation. Pharmacies appear to be reaching a slightly different subpopulation of IDUs than other syringe access programs, particularly in looking at higher proportions of Latinos and whites and higher proportions of amphetamine injectors reporting use in pharmacies. And IDUs reported never sharing syringes at consistently higher levels in LHJs with disease prevention demonstration projects where pharmacies are sold. And finally, pharmacy users are less likely to test positive for HIV and report HCV positivity. And I'd also like to acknowledge a fantastic team across a number of different agencies. This research is severely underfunded. It was mandated by the state and by the legislature, but there were no monies that came with that. And so we've been looking, we've been digging, and the Office of AIDS has been able to provide some, but nowhere near enough. So the folks that are here working are pretty dedicated and doing some fantastic work with very limited resources. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, for that fresh perspective from IDUs. And Dr. Elisa Riley is also going to talk about IDUs, I'm sure. I bet my life on.